Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Northwest. We're so blessed that you're able to join us this morning. We have good news, and the good news comes from the Bible. We're talking this morning out of the book of Romans chapter 1. We're actually just looking at the first verse and looking what it is to be a servant of Jesus, looking what it is to be called by God and separated for the gospel. So we're going to bring great news from the Word of God, encouragement and love. And we have a wonderful time of worship before we get into the Word. And at this time, Victor's going to come and lead us in prayer. God bless you.
Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, the designer of all the things that we get to enjoy, sight, smell, touch, feel, sound. Lord, you're so gracious to give us all these gifts. You're so kind. You're so merciful. We're thankful, Lord. Lord, we rest in you. We know who you are, what you're capable of, and your grace, Lord, your mercy. Help us not to lose hope, Lord. Help us to continue in trusting you, faith in you. Lord, you've given us an amazing assurance of forgiveness of sins, of eternal life. Help us not to get too worried and caught up in the temporal things, Lord. They're very real. We trust you for eternal life. Help us to trust you in the day-to-day things. Lord, we just want to spend this morning focused on you, giving you our undivided attention, singing of all the things that you do, all the things that you've done for us, your great attributes. We're blessed, Lord. We're blessed to be able to know about you. Lord, we pray for Pastor Tom this morning as he presents your word, as he presents a message from your word. We pray for a special anointing of your Holy Spirit for him to be able to minister to all those that are listening this morning. We pray for an anointing on Hardy as well, Lord, as he leads us in songs that gets our focus and attention on you, that worship and honor you. We pray for all those that have time to be able to watch this and listen to this, that they would be blessed by you, by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Growing up at the church service I attended, there would be a response. It would say, "This is the word of the Lord." In the response, we would say, "Thanks be to God." And I've always been thankful for God's word. And it was really when I was in my middle 20s that I was searching desperately for answers in life, for purpose in life. And what came back into my mind and my heart was, "This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And I got a Bible and I began to read the Bible. And God revealed himself to me through his word. Jesus is the word. When we preach the word, we're proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And that's why we're here this morning. And I'm so glad that you're here. We know that many are able to listen now. And we're so thankful. We're praying for God's blessing upon your life. We're praying for you to be encouraged today in the truth of God and the love of God. Praying to understand the grace of God. God is with you. God is for you. God sees everything happening right now in your life. I pray that through this time that we had of worship and of prayer together, that your heart is calming down, that there's a sense of peace, that in your own person right now, you'd realize God's got this. He has it in control. He's allowing this situation in life right now. It's causing us to draw near to him. Years ago on a Sunday after our service in Seattle, we were driving home and our daughter was looking out the car window. And we were passing a church building, but it did not have a cross on the top of the building. It had a different symbol. And she says, what is that about there? What kind of church is that? And we said, well, unfortunately, they haven't come to understand the gospel and the goodness of Jesus Christ for their lives. And that was a short conversation. And then the next week, coming home on the same route, she looked at the same church and she asked us, is that where Goliath went to church? We thought about that. But before we could answer, she asked this follow-up question. She said, did anybody ever pray for Goliath? And my friends, we're living at a time that I believe God is giving us a strong dose of his mercy and grace. I believe time is very short. In a sense, it's like last call from heaven. It's a sense of come now, come to the Lord, come close to the Lord, draw near to God. He loves you. And I know there's a lot of things happening in our hearts right now, but I pray that we're being drawn near to God. And this morning, as we begin a new study, it's a study in the book of Romans. And through the last several years, we went through the Gospels on Sunday, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we looked at the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. We examined his words and his ministry and were greatly blessed. And the Bible follows after the gospel, there's the book of Acts. And that is, what did happen after Christ rose from the dead? And the book of Acts is 28 chapters long, and it took us about a year and 4 months to go through that. And the next book chronologically in the Bible is the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is about getting right with God. It's the timing is perfect. I just want to let you know, for me personally, I want to draw closer to God. I want to know him in ways I've never known before. I want to read his word. As familiar as I may be, I'm reading it as though for the first time and saying, God, speak to me. It says in the Bible, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of God has to say. And God wants to speak to you and to us today from his word. As you have perhaps your Bible before you, it's in the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, we're only going to look at verse 1 today. And in verse 1 of Romans, chapter 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. There's three things really defining in this one verse. Paul says, a bondservant. He was said he was called to be an apostle. And he was separated to the gospel. We're going to look this morning briefly on what it is to be a servant of the Lord, what it is to be called for the purposes of God, and what it means to be able to be separated to give out the gospel, the good news. One of the movies that I've enjoyed greatly, it's been out for quite a while. Maybe you saw it. It's called Remember the Titans. And there's a number of reasons why I like it. But one part, towards the end of the movie, the coach is in the huddle with his team. I believe it's his defensive team. And he's in the huddle. And things have to change in the game. And the coach is going to inspire these players to rise to the highest level that they could play their best game. And as they got together with the coach in the huddle, and the coaches, they call timeout. He's going to give them some inspiration, important, timely inspiration. He says some things in a strategic way for his players to follow up on. But then looking at the coach and the coach looking at the players, he said to them, men, tonight they will always remember the night they played the Titans. And I love that call and that command that they'll always remember. In other words, we're going all out right now. Men, we got a little bit of time left, but we are going to play harder and stronger and faster and smarter. They're going to remember this night. And in a way, I like to transform that. And as I said earlier, I believe that there's a little bit of time left here. And I believe that God might be saying to his church, wake up and live for me. That the world will say, and they'll see your lives, they'll see Christians, and they'll look at the Christians, and they'll say, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen the love that they have for us, the love they have for God. They'll always remember the days they met the true believers in Christ Jesus. We're living in that time right now. And God is wanting to live his life out of us and out of the church. And he's using this time to wake up the body of Christ. You know, it doesn't really matter where you or anyone has been attending church through your life. Right now, everything is, in a sense, kind of a level playing ground. There's not our children's ministry or youth ministry or special ministries or any other peripheral features within our ministry or any ministry. It's about Jesus. It's about his word. It's about drawing close. It's about loving other people. It's about praying for people. It's really God, in a sense, has just moved away all the clutter and all the things. Perhaps there are good things, but perhaps just getting in the way. And it's time to focus on the main thing, which is Jesus. You know, the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit. Some may not be acquainted with the Bible. You know the Bible. You hear about the Bible. We're living in times right now that people want to disregard the Bible. They may say, well, Pastor, that's your book. Well, actually, it's his book. And you may know this already, but just for a brief review, this book, this Bible, is made up of 66 different books. It's a library of books. It's a library of books written over a period of about 1,500 years. It's written by 40 different authors. Every one, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And they wrote God's word. And they've communicated God's word. And God has spoken to us on hundreds of different topics. But there's a complete unity through this book. And we see that there's the book of the law and the historical books and the poetic books and the books of prophecy and the gospels and Acts and even the book of Revelation, which we'll be looking at on our Wednesday night study, letting God's word speak to us about these days. But Paul wrote this book of Romans on his third missionary journey. Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. Paul was one of the most religious people on earth, but he wasn't saved. He was not a follower of Christ. He was not ready for heaven, although very religious. His life was considered blameless by many. But he did not have a relationship with God. After that took place, and we'll get to an explanation of that shortly, but as a follower of Jesus, he was used to bring the gospel into the known world. And he always wanted to go to Rome. On his third missionary journey, he wrote this book. Around 57 AD, he wrote it. He returned to Jerusalem and then took a journey to Rome as a prisoner and finally arrived there. He loved the people in Rome. He includes nearly 30 names of people in Rome personally in his writings. This morning, when we're looking at this book of Romans, it's a book that has literally changed the lives of thousands of men and women, and it's redirected the course of history. The book of Romans has. We can think of Martin Luther, for example, in the 1500s, struggling as a monk, never being able to be set free from his sin. But he was reading Romans. And in Romans, he was reading where the just shall live by faith. And the word of God spoke to his heart, and it set him free. Because of that, the Protestant movement began. But men and women throughout history, most revivals take place as a result of the truth that comes through the book of Romans. Even the Jesus movement, Romans had a huge part to do in bringing the truth to people to be set free from religion and being introduced to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans. We are wanting to get the gospel to the world. A few things that I wrote. It's a book of theology, and it's a practical application today for our daily living. One person said it's the cathedral of the Christian faith. The Gospels present the words and the works of Jesus Christ. Romans explains the significance of his sacrificial death for our justification and for our righteousness. Key words in this book, words like righteousness, the word faith, the word law, the word all, the word sin, each of those appear over 60 times each. But as I said, Romans, this book, through the Spirit of God, has impacted human history. It's impacted lives. But my question to you, and one I must answer myself, how will this time right now in my life, this morning, and this time forward, as we go through Romans, how will this book, God's Word, how will it impact my life? How might it impact your life? If it impacts my life and your life, it'll impact our future. It'll impact our relations with other people. It'll impact our worldview. It will radically change many of the ways that we look at life. Some people have stated, and I understand, and many times the question is, when do you think we'll get back to normal? And I understand that. And I understand what the desire of the heart is to conduct life and to live life in a way that we had known before without a lot of constraints and other things that we have to pay attention to at this time. I understand that completely, and I have some of the similar feelings. But if I can share with you, as I've thought about that statement, I want to say that I don't believe that we'll return ever to what was what we once experienced. I believe things will be different. Things will continue to be different. And as we move forward, even as we minister as a body of Christ and as believers, it's going to be different. We're going to trust God just like we have. We're going to believe His Word. We're going to pray. We're going to fellowship. We're going to reach the world with the gospel. We're going to live for God. But I believe that there'll be a greater depth in our hearts for God, a greater love for God, a greater surrender towards God, a greater willingness to say, God, wherever and whenever I'm available for your purposes. What I'm saying is things are changing in a radical way, and it's time to get right with God and to follow His leading for your life. Oh, years ago, we lived in the University District in Seattle, and there's the University Avenue, quite a hangout. Definitely. And my girls were going to elementary school in the early years, and I would take them out once a week. We'd have breakfast before going to school, and We would actually go to Burger King and have a little breakfast there together and sat next to the window and we would talk. I can remember that time like it was yesterday. Just the freshness of those little faces of my daughters. And as we were looking out the window one of the days, this young fellow came around on a bicycle and he had a long screwdriver and a little backpack and he pulled it out and we're right next to newspaper stands. And he put the screwdriver in, he popped open the newspaper stand and box and he stole papers and he took off. And my girls' face were astonished. I can just think of their eyes right now. Because to them, that was like a bank robbery taking place right before their very eyes. And so we said, we need to pray for this person. And we didn't know what his name was, so we made up a name. Because there was a rascal, a little character in one of the books we were reading. And this fellow in the book's name was Joy Brill. So we tagged this guy as Joy Brill. So at night, we'd pray for Joy Brill. And the next week, at Burger King, looking out the window about the same time, he was on target. He was there. And the girls scooted down in the booth next to the window. They didn't want to see this criminal stealing another newspaper. So it was a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity not only to pray, but a great opportunity to allow the Lord to give us the kind of heart Jesus has for Joy Brill. So I says, you know what? Next week he's going to steal papers. Let's put a Bible on the top. If he loves to steal, he'll take the Bible. And then we can pray that he'd read it. So we put a nice paperback Bible right on the paper stand. Here he comes. They scoot down. We're looking out the window. He steals a paper, but he leaves the Bible. Oh, what are we going to do now, Dad? So I says, here's what we'll do. So next week when we went, we opened up. I put money into the newspaper stand and opened up the door. I did not take a paper, but I took tracts that we had, gospel tracts, gospel messages. And I opened up the newspaper and I stuffed them inside the paper. And then I says, here he comes. Joy Brill is coming. And so we're watching him. He pops open the stand. And the thing was, is he took the second paper, not the top one. Dad, what happened? We prayed and we had the track and we're not reaching Joy Brill. Then this businessman came and he took the top one and then the tracks fell out. He picked them up and took them. So we're praying for a businessman and we're praying for Joy Brill at the same time. Oh, Pastor, where are you going with this? Listen, we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the good news. We're talking about having a heart for people that need to experience the love of God and the grace of God and the joy of God. So the following week, I says, girls, you want to do something before school? We'll be in our VW van. When Joy Brill steals the paper, we'll follow him. We'll see where he goes. Dad, no, let's do it. So before school, we're going through the U District, following Joy on his bike, and we watch where he went. And to come to find out, it's over 30 years ago, he was living in his car. And our hearts broke for Joy Brill. And we prayed more for him. And I used to go out on the avenue on night times to share Christ. And I met him, Joy Brill, on the streets. And I says, would you like to go to Burger King tomorrow? I'll buy you breakfast this time. And I got to sit down with Joy Brill and be able to share with him a little bit of the things that we are doing. What's this all about? My friends, the gospel is real. Life is real. There is an eternity. There's an eternity with God in heaven, an eternity in hell away from God. Those two realities exist. Those are the two eternal destinations. And our choices here on earth determine an eternity. And no one is without excuse in our heart. Just like Paul, his heart was given over to Christ. And as you become a follower of Christ and as your soul and spirit is awakened, you're willing to step out. You're willing to see the world in a different way. You're willing to say, Lord, who needs to know about you? So the book of Romans impacted the world. It impacts our life. It impacts everything that's going on. Back into our text, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And that's interesting Because today, if someone said, hey, I became a Christian and now I'm a bondservant, you think, you are, what are you doing? Why do you even say that? But this goes back to the Roman situation when there was millions of slaves, but a bondservant of Jesus Christ, that is somebody that willfully wants to be given over to Jesus. They recognize Jesus as the master. There's an explanation. Paul identified himself first as a servant of Christ. Servant means doulos, a slave, a person owned by another. Paul wore this title gladly, revealing in the Old Testament a picture of a slave who, in love, binds himself to his master for life. We're living in a different time. Selfies. We don't hear a whole lot of that at the moment because of everything that goes on. But selfie, obviously, is about me. Selfie almost sounds like selfish. And it's contrary to the word of God. Jesus said this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and in verse 43 through 45. Jesus says, whoever desires to become great amongst you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Listen, for even the Son of Man, even Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So I did some research on this, the idea of being a servant. So as a Christian, I've now entered into a new place in my life. I'm a servant of the King. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as a child of God, I choose to be a servant of God. And being a servant of God sets you free from any bondage. Moses was called a servant of God. The prophets in Revelation 10 declared to be servants of God. The apostle John in Revelation 1:1, it says, and he sent and signified it by his angels to his servant John. So even Jesus recognized John as a servant. Jude was a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Simon Peter was a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. James, a bondservant of God. Epaphras, who is one of you, was a bondservant of Christ. And then it tells us in Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in, and his servants shall serve him. God is not looking on your resume for impressive credentials. We bring nothing to the table. He brought everything. His death, his burial, his resurrection. He brought everything for us, for life, for living today, and for all eternity. And what he's asking, as followers of Jesus Christ, will we be known as servants of the living God? Maybe you've never heard that before. But let me express something that comes out of the book of Philippians chapter 2. And it has to do about Jesus Christ. We're talking about being a servant. We're in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I said it's great news. I said the great news is when we are liberated from our sin and set free through Jesus Christ who forgives us, we have a new purpose in life. It's a glorious purpose in life. We get to serve the King. We get to know him personally. We get to hear from him. We get to follow his instructions. We get assignments from him on a daily basis, being a servant of the King. And Paul said, I'm a bondservant. I give myself for the purposes of Christ. But Paul was following the example of Jesus Christ himself. Because in Philippians chapter 2, speaking about Jesus, it says, And Jesus, found in appearance as a man, so speaking of Jesus on earth, came as a man. Listen, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And prior to that, he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. The Bible is telling us today, the Word of God is telling us, that Jesus himself, the eternal God, who created everything, he came to earth. He chose to come to earth as a servant. He says, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So in these days of the coronavirus, in these days where you're wrestling through perhaps some major things, wondering, what is your purpose? What is your calling? What is the direction? What's going on? If God can calm your heart with the love of Jesus, if God can forgive all your sins, and he can, and he will, if you ask him, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he transforms you into a new person. And he is calling you and me to be his servants. And it's a joyful place to be. Jesus said, for the joy set before me, I endured the cross. When we're looking here and seeing this calling as of a servant, that's what Paul was. I wrote this sentence, being known as a servant of the king, it's a privileged position and one of great honor. I'll repeat that. Being known as a servant of a king, of the king, is a privileged position and one of great honor. And I think of Jim Elliot, the early missionary that some of you might be familiar with, and in his mid-20s, giving it all to the cause of Christ, ended up dying as a martyr. But what he's known for, besides his sacrificial, loving work, are things he wrote. And one of the things that Jim Elliot, a martyr in his 20s, wrote, he said, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I want to have that heart. I've been asking God, please, God, create within me a heart of a servant. I've been praying. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to give my life for the cause of Christ. Make me into a servant just like you did Paul. And perhaps all of us want to serve the Lord. We want to serve others with a pure heart to be that servant. A bondservant must be free from fear. We need daily encouragement from the Word of God. What are you overwhelmed with today? What's overwhelming your soul? What's dictating your emotions? Remember, you are now bound to a new master, Jesus. Ask him for strength. Ask him for courage. He's with you. He's with you and me in every battle we face. We need to choose faith and not fear. We need to choose faith and not fear. As we get into our Revelation study, the disciples ask Jesus, tell us about the signs of the times. When will these things be? And you know what Jesus said, the first sign he said? He said, do not be deceived. Matthew 24, do not be deceived. As your pastor, and as a pastor, it breaks my heart right now for how many followers of Christ are being deceived. And it breaks my heart. If we're bound in fear, it's because we've been deceived. Jesus says, his perfect love conquers fear. When the love of God dwells within us, even though the circumstances are out of control, he loves us. He doesn't want us to be fearful. I think there's a scripture for every day of the year that says, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. So, friend, if you're bound in fear, you're believing the lie and not the truth. Believe the truth. God's with you. God's for you. God will see you through. He who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. God is at work. Celebrate that God will see you through. We need to be known as the brave butler. A butler is the chief servant of a household. But now we are the butler, the servant of the household of faith. The second thing we talked about was called. Paul was called to be an apostle. So not only has God called us to himself, to Jesus, to be a servant of the Lord, but we understand called to be an apostle. An apostle is one who is sent. It's like a missionary. Now today, there's not apostles as there were in this first century, used by God in the authoritative way. But men and women, we are sent by God. We are saved by God, and we are sent to do whatever he has us to do. And it can be across the street, across the city, or across the ocean. We're sent by God, that there is a purpose. The word apostle means one who is sent by the authority with a commission. It was applied in that day to the representatives of the empire. They were emissaries of the king. Paul saw Christ when he was on the road to Damascus. And then it was there that he said to Christ, Lord, what would you have me to do? Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ. And God the Father raised him up from the dead. My friends, as one who is called by God, you're called and you're sent. Being sent out as an ambassador for my King causes me to bow humbly before his throne of grace for my daily assignment. A couple of scriptures here just to really encourage your heart. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God has called you before you were ever born. He knows. He's all-knowing. He's allowed you to live your life and to make your choices, but it's never stopped him. The wooing love of God is stronger than ever before. God is drawing you through his love to himself. It's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. God is at work. He says he wishes none would perish, but all would come to faith in Christ. He's not wanting anyone to fall away. He's drawing us close. He's called you. He's called me to himself. Paul would later write in the book of 2 Corinthians and in the chapter 5, be blessed by these words. Be encouraged. Therefore, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any of you, if we are in Christ, listen, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new life. Not a retread. A new life. You didn't exchange the old one and get some remnant of that. A new life in Christ. It tells us, now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Paul understood that. Paul was, again, the most spiritual and religious person. He was making havoc in the Christian church. He was trying to destroy the Christian church. It is known that he killed men and women. He broke up families. He had documentations to go and to kill more Christians. And on the road to Damascus, a light shone from heaven and God spoke to him. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against me?" And Paul was broken. He met Jesus. Jesus spoke to him. And it was a love he had never known in his life. He always tried to work spiritually to earn some sort of spiritual favor with God. It only brought frustration. But maybe right now, right where you're at, maybe there is an experience of the love of God for you right now. He knows your life. He knows your thought life. He knows your actions. He knows the darkness that you've been involved in. And yet, he's saying to you, "I love you." He's saying, "I can forgive all of that. I died on the cross for your sins. I can forgive all of that. I can give you a new start. You can become a new creation in Christ Jesus." He says, "I'll live within you. I will help you." You know, friends, some people say these are shadowy times. Shadowy. Well, if you think about it for just a minute, there is never going to be a shadow unless there's light. When there's light on an object, then the shadow is cast. I believe right now it's the light of Jesus. Jesus says he's the light of the world. Jesus is shining his light upon you and upon me. And many times there's a shadow and he's showing you, "This is it. This is the shadow, the darkness. I'm shining my light. I can set you free. I can forgive that darkness. I can take away the shadow. I can bring forth the light of the gospel." That's what Jesus wants to do. That's what he did to Paul. And Paul says, "I'm a transformed person. I'm forgiven of all my sins. I saw Jesus. He forgave me. I'm going to heaven. My life has changed. I'm now a servant of the King. The one who I was persecuting, I'm now serving. The one who I was persecuting, he's actually called me to talk about him to other people." And that's what he'll do with you and with me. We just have a few minutes left. The last thing that we saw in our study this morning, again, just from verse 1, it says, "Paul, a bondservant of Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel." The gospel is the good news. Separated means a new horizon. When he met Jesus Christ, there is a new life, a new horizon, a new direction for him. When you have the gospel truth, you have all the truth you need. The gospel separates you from the world. The truth of God separates you from the worldliness in this world. It changes our heart. It changes our passion. It aligns our hearts with the heart of Jesus. And we begin to have the heart that Jesus has for this lost world. The gospel is understanding, "Jesus, you did for me what I could never do for myself. You died for me so I could live for you." A servant is called by God to give out the word of God. Life is now the joyful experience of being a messenger for God, to go wherever and to do whatever our master asks of us. We've been given the good news of hope beyond the grave, and we've been given a sense of purposefulness before the grave, all by his grace and all by his Holy Spirit. This morning, we started off welcoming you, letting you know that there's good news today. We had a time of prayer and a time of worship, dedicating our hearts and our lives to God. We opened up the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. It's the truth of God, every bit of its truth. It's the gospel truth. It is the absolute truth. Every word in there is the truth for our life. We don't throw any of it aside. We take it all. It's the living word. It transforms our lives. And we saw that it transformed Paul's life. He persecuted Jesus. He got right with Jesus. And when he got right with God, his life was right with others. Are you struggling in your relationship with others, in your marriage, with your family, with your children, with friends, in the workplace, at school, with other people? Are those relationships unstable? We need to be right with God. When we're right with God, His strength is to our life, and it strengthens these other relationships. God's called us with a new calling. Let's be servants of the living God. Let's say, God, thank you for calling me. Thank you for saving me from the path I was going on. And thank you for giving me the gospel. I want to give that gospel to others. I want to share that gospel with others. If you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, by that I mean, if I were to ask this question, are you right with God? And others ask that question of me many times. And most of my answers were, I would say the good religious things I was doing was my answer. I was trying to justify my life based upon my works. And that's not the correct answer. Because I could not work my way into a relationship with God. I can't buy my way into heaven, and neither can you. Heaven is a free gift. It's a gift that God's given to us. We can't earn it, and we don't deserve it. But because God loves us, He says, I'm going to purchase this gift for you. He purchased it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And He says, here's your gift, eternal life. And to receive that gift, you say, God, I'm sorry for my sins and my selfish living. Please forgive me of my sins. I receive this gift of eternal life now. That's how a relationship begins with God. And if you have been walking with God, I rejoice. I pray that God will be strengthening your relationship and my relationship with Him and with others. My friends, God has allowed this time, this divine intermission right now, for us not to complain, not to grow weary. It's for us to grow up spiritually. It's for us to grow strong spiritually. There's things ahead. There's things coming in the future that we need to be strong with God, right with God now, to be right with God today, and to walk in a way that's worthy of our calling as servants of the King. So may we be strengthened, and we're strengthened in the love of God. We're strengthened by the grace of God. We're strengthened by the Word of God. I hope you'll be encouraged with this morning's message. I pray you can join us on Wednesday at 7 as we look at the book of Revelation and talk about the days in which we live. Hopefully it'll be words that strengthen our heart. We also have at our website an encouragement on a daily basis. It's called Discipleship Living, and that may encourage you as well. If there's any way that we could also be of help after this broadcast, you can email us and we can pray for you or help you or answer any questions you may have the best that we can. So have a wonderful, Spirit-filled day. God bless you.